Luke chapter number 11, I'm going to begin reading verse number 5. We'll read a parable, a prayer parable, and then we'll receive some instruction. And then another parable in my Scofield Bible, there's a heading that says a parable of the fatherhood. We're going to read that and draw our message from that portion from verse 11 down to 13. But we'll begin reading in verse number 5 down through verse number 13. Luke chapter number 11, verse 5. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. Luke 11. And verse number 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Notice verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Heavenly Father, I pray this week. Take a look at this portion of Scripture and try to glean some wisdom, dear God. We'll give, Lord, good exhortation and good instruction to the fathers here. And Lord, thank you for fathers. Thank you for the blessing of being a dad. And I pray, Lord, for each and every one of us, dear God, that we would leave here with a sense of, a heightened sense of our responsibilities. And Lord, that we would want to. Lord, even with our imperfections, dear God, even though we are sinful, we would want to give good gifts unto our children. May the children here today, Lord, I pray that they would honor their father and their mother, which is the first command with promise, that it may be well with them. They may live long on the earth, Lord. May you sweeten the relationship, dear God, between father and children this day, dear God, not just in this service, but throughout the day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I had used and was using and preparing a message, had it almost done. And I was going to preach on this phrase, verse number 13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And I began to study down through the context so that I could launch from there and preach a message how to give good gifts unto your children. But I kept being arrested by verse number 11 and verse number 12. I am a preacher that often says to you, remember this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And every once in a while I'll stop and ponder a portion of scripture that I've spent more time in my life reading over than really contemplating or meditating upon. And I got to thinking about these three items, these three things that were mentioned, that any father, if a child were to ask for it, he would certainly want to give it to them. And then I looked at the other three items that are listed that a father would never, of course, want to give. Here's the questions. Let's read them. Verse 11, if a son shall ask bread, and that's the first one, bread, of any of you that is a father, will he, speaking of the father, will the father give him, the son, a stone? Now think about that and contemplate that. If your child were to ask for a piece of bread, anybody here that's a daddy, if your son was hungry and he wanted a piece of bread, would you not only deny him the bread, but instead hand him a stone? And then Jesus went on and said this, or if he asked a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? And Dad, I want to go to Long John Silver's. Dad, I want to go to Long John Silver's. I want to have some fish. Can I have some fish? Can we have fish for lunch? And the father says, no, sit down and be quiet. Matter of fact, now you've ticked me off. We're going to the pond. and I'm going to catch a water moccasin, and you're going to eat it. That's what you're going to do. That's what you're going to do. I mean, it's almost so extreme what Jesus said here that it's almost funny that to think that a father who loved his child would do something like that. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And again, here's a son that gets up, breakfast time. Dad, you know what I'd really like to have? I'd like to have an egg. He said, no, you're not going to get an egg. Matter of fact, I caught something last night, and I'm going to give it to you, and I want you to go in the backyard and play with it. And he hands him a scorpion. Now, Jesus uses these extreme, if you'll let me say this, examples in building up to teach us, verse number 13, if ye then, notice here, being evil, and what that means, if you study that out, it simply means being sinners, being sinful, and we all are, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no perfect daddy, okay? There's no perfect daddy. So even though we are flawed, okay, even though we're sinful, even at times we're evil, even with that true of us, if we know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask of him? And I want to take these three gifts, and I want to take you on a little journey and take you on a little word study. And I'd spent some time studying these things out. Matter of fact, I called a couple preacher friends, and I said, have you ever noticed these three items and the three contrasting items, and have you ever preached on them? And both of the preachers I called said, no, I've never really thought of that, contemplated, or preached on it. I was going to have them, if they had preached on it, just fax me their message and save me a little time this week. And so, but since, they weren't right with God enough to have studied this out and come up with a message, then I was backed into a corner where I actually had to study the Bible and prepare for a sermon myself. And so I did a word study. I like to do this kind of thing. And when you look at the subject of bread in the Bible, and the computer programs really make it nice. I'll sit there on my laptop, and I've got a Bible program there where I can just type in the word bread, and every single verse in the Bible where bread is found, I can look at every one of them or read every one of them. And then the same thing with the stone. Then I could look up fish and how many times it's mentioned in the Bible, and this idea of being compared to a serpent. And then also, of course, an egg being compared to a scorpion. And I was amazed. You know what? Jesus never said anything by accident. And everything that he said, he wanted to teach us something. And so I want to encourage you as fathers, you say, preacher, what Jesus said, come on now. No daddy, when asked for bread, would give a son a stone. No daddy, when asked for a fish, would give a son a serpent. No dad, when asked for an egg by his son, would give him a scorpion. And yet, when you study these things, we live in such a polluted and such a sinful culture. What if I was to say this? Many a dad, when their children need bread, they're giving them a stone. And many a dad, when their children need fish, are giving them a serpent. And many a dad, come on now, this is where we're at. The Bible talks about how natural affection, without natural affection, is one of the character traits of these last times. And what that natural affection is talking about is family affection. Natural, God-given family affection. We live in an odd time. Mothers are doing things to their children that no mother would be able to contemplate 50 years ago. Fathers sometimes are treating their children in such a way that honestly goes beyond the capability of any thinking, sensible, sane man to even understand what is going on. And children, let me say this, young people, are in this day and age treating their parents sometimes in such a way that it's hard for anybody that's got a lick of sense and an ounce of decency to understand. And what I think I'd like to do is to take this message and encourage all of us. Let's make sure that we are not guilty of being the exception to this parable, that when our children, in a time they so desperately need bread, let's get them bread. In a time when they need fish, let's get them fish. In a time when they need eggs, let's give them eggs. Let's not be guilty of giving our children stones and serpents and scorpions. Let's look at the bread versus the stone. Let me say this. You don't study this very far before you come over and upon one overwhelming truth, and that's this. You need to give your children Jesus. You need to give him Jesus. You say, preacher, where do you get that? Go, if you will, and by the way, hold your place here, but go, if you will, to John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. We see this great discourse here on the bread of life in John chapter number 6. If we begin reading verse number 28, the Bible teaches us one thing. Jesus is the bread of life. John chapter 6 and verse number 28, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Notice they opened the door on this. So Jesus said in verse 42, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now in this day and age, let me encourage you fathers, more than anything else, you know what we need to give to our children? We need to give them Jesus. Amen. They need the bread of life. They need Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, if a child is asking for bread, there's no father in the world that would give them a stone. That's not true. Children need Jesus more than they ever have. And many, many fathers in this community, forgive me for saying it, but it's true, many fathers are not giving their children the knowledge of Jesus Christ, access to Jesus Christ. Sunday mornings come and go, and no daddy will get up and wake the children up and say, get ready, we're going to Sunday school. And I believe that everything that we're seeing in this culture, and by the way, I won't go into the details of it. If you've read the paper, you know the horrific things that have happened in our community this weekend and within this, some involving young men from this very town. But I want to tell you this, folks. You say, how in the world can some young men in their 20s get to the point, allegedly, where they've done the things that they're being accused of doing? Listen to me very carefully. We are raising our children without the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We think we're going to raise our kids outside of church and it isn't going to matter. But I'm going to tell you something. Every child needs Jesus. They need Jesus. What's the greatest thing your dad ever did for you, preacher? When I was 5 years old, my dad stepped up and said to the family, it's time to get the kids in church. Mom and dad, who hadn't been going to church up to that time, began, made a commitment and started going to church and eventually got saved and stayed in church. And you know what? The greatest thing my dad ever did for me was make sure that week in, week out, I was sitting somewhere where I could learn about Jesus Christ. Give him Jesus. You say, preacher, what's the stone stand for? Think about this. If you study that word stone and just search it out, this is what you'll find. This is the primary teaching. Matthew chapter 21, verse 42. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And have you not read this scripture? Mark 12:10. The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. Luke chapter 20, verse 17. And he beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it shall grind him to powder. Acts chapter 4, verse 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Ephesians 2, 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. 1 Peter speaks much of this. Verse 6, 7, 8. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. Let me show you this because I want you to take a picture home. I don't want to just preach this. I want you to take a picture home. And so I want you to understand, dads, you've got to make a choice in your life. You're going to have to make a choice. You've got an opportunity, and you're going to have an opportunity for 18 years to set the plate. You're going to have an opportunity to expose. That plate's starting to slide. Amen there. I want to break the fine china that I borrowed out of the church kitchen. So every daddy's got to make a decision here. What kind of, listen, you know what your children want? They want bread. It's in the heart of every child to seek God. It's the heart of every child to want. Listen, you get children around Jesus and something about them. You don't have to teach children to love Jesus. It's something about them. They learn to love him right off the bat. They want him. They need him desperately in this day and age. So you're going to have to make a decision here. All right, your children need bread. What kind of table are you going to set for them? When they ask for bread, are you going to say, okay, absolutely. There you go. There's some bread. We'll take you to church. We'll make sure you learn about Jesus. We'll make sure that you know about Jesus. We'll make sure that you sit in Sunday school. Or are you going to treat Jesus like the stone that was disallowed? The stone that was refused? You see, you got to do one of two things with your life when it comes to rearing kids. They need this. Are you going to give them this? There's adults sitting all over this room. You know what? They love their mom and dad, and they'll love them till the day they die, and you should love your parents. But I'm going to tell you something. They were not raised on Jesus. They weren't raised on bread. Jesus in their home was treated like a rock that was cast away, a rock that was disallowed, a rock that was refused. And there's nothing wrong with this community. And Jacksonville's getting some bad press right now. But there's nothing wrong with this community that wouldn't be fixed if we could get daddies to step up and stand up and wake up on Sunday mornings and get the family ready and march them into church and get them under the preaching of God's holy word. You're either treating Jesus as the stone that's been disallowed, or you're treating Jesus and teaching your children to treat him as the bread of life. They're hungry. They need Jesus. Daddy, let me ask you something. Is your children saved? Are your children saved? Are they saved? If God was to come right back now, if God was to send Jesus in the rapture, would your children be left here to go through 7 years of tribulation period? They need Jesus. This is big time major league stuff. One of your children ends up tragically passing away. Do you have to stand at a casket worried about where they are in eternity? Or have you gotten them to Jesus? Have you gotten them to Jesus? I love this baby boom we're having around here. You know what? Thank God for parents. That, I mean, as soon as mama's back up on her feet and that little baby's able to come, they march that child, carry that child in a little baby bucket, I call them. They always carry them in baby buckets now, you know. But they bring the babies in the baby buckets and they walk them right back there and put them in the nursery of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm going to tell you something. There's a wise daddy. There's a wise mama there. Thank God. And so we got to decide what we're going to give them. So the first one, a bread or a stone. Give your children Jesus. Give them Jesus. More than anything else, they need Jesus. Second thing he asks is this question. We'll go back to our scriptures in Luke chapter number 11 now. He says this. He says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? And so a boy wants a fish. The son wants a fish. Now, let me just say this and it'll teach you something. But there's two different ways that you can give your children fish, okay? One man said this, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. If you teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. And if you asked your children the honest truth, would they rather have fish or would they rather go catch fish and then have fish? You know what? I don't know of a boy in the world that wouldn't say, you know what? I'd rather go to the lake with dad and catch fish than Long John Silver and stand in line and order fish. And I do want to just say a word about that because I think it's important. It's good exhortation. Dads, I know it's busy and I know the strain that this economy's putting on and everything. And it just seems like every year you have to work longer and harder for less. But I'm going to tell you something. There's more things important in life than just toys. And you know what? Those children, you're going to blink once, blink twice. And they're going to be out of your home. And you know what? You're going to have had your chance. And so let me just encourage you, and I mean this, I just want to be an encouragement to you. Spend time with your children. Spend time with your children. I decided when we were taking care of Ariana and Shaylee for that stretch of time, that 7 years of tribulation period that we had him at our house there for. It was my turn to give the wife a break. So on a certain day, I told her, I'll go in and work a half day at the office, and then I'll come home and you go do what you need to do and I'll watch the girls. Well, you know, I get bored quick. I've got an attention span of about the same as theirs. So we got there and we're bored. So I'm like, okay, well, what do you want to do? And they're talking. I said, let's go fishing. And I said it really before I thought it out. So then all of a sudden they're jumping up and down screaming, and hey, we don't have a fishing, I got fishing pole. Well, where are we going to get the bait? We'll go get worms. And I mean, you know, I had 4 hours to fill, so I thought this will do it. So we put them in the truck, we drive them to the bait shop, get some night crawlers, come back, go get the fishing poles, untangle all of them, you know how they are, untangle all of them, get everything ready to go, make sure you find two that work. Then we march them over to the property next door where the pond is, and we've got the boat there, the aluminum boat. Now, don't tell Grandma this, but we don't have life preservers. But, you know, they're 4 and 6. I feel like they'll probably be fine. And so we flip the boat over and shake all the snakes out of it and everything else we got to do, you know, and get the tackle box. And then and out. When you take a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old fishing, you only need 2 poles. Because if you think you're doing any fishing, you're dreaming. You are not going to get any fishing done. Okay, your job is to try to keep them from ripping each other's eyeballs out with the hooks, you know, and baiting the hooks and reeling them in. And you know, you got a full-time job. So we put them in the boat, and we put the tackle box in there, got the 2 poles in there, and we push out I got the oars and push them out, and I paddle them out there in the middle. And Shaylee's never caught a fish before, never. Ariana's already caught a couple of them. Remember at the family camp, she won. I think a trophy and all that, just because, you know, she's related to me. And so we take them fishing out there, and we roll them out there. And Shayla's like, I've never caught a fish. I've never, you know, Ariana's the expert. Oh, I've caught three. I've caught 3 fish. Like, you know, she's the expert, you know. And Shaylee's not caught any. All right, quiet. I get it. All right. We're going to take care of that right now, you know. So we get the hook on, the barber on. We get the night crawler on. Throw one of them out. You hold on to this. And if you're doing this time of year and you're doing with night crawlers, you can't hardly get the other one out there, you know. And they're screaming, you know. So I'm doing double duty and trying to keep the boat from floating, and it's kind of windy that day, and so the boat's kind of blowing around and everything. And so anyway, we managed to get Shaylee to catch a fish. And I got a picture of it, and she's all excited about it. And Ariana catches a fish or two, and they're all excited about it. Of course, then they're done. You know, they're bored because they caught their fish. That's it. They just want to catch a fish. So they did it. Now they're done. Now they want to row the boat. And I said, fine. No problem. I'm a grandpa. If the kids want to do something, they ought to be allowed to do it. Amen. That's what I feel like. And so I hand one of them an oar and the other an oar. And I said, I'll tell you what you do. You guys row the boat and I'll fish. And it was the funniest thing I've ever watched in my life, man. I mean, they don't know what to do with the oar. You know, they're smacking the water. They're doing all this stuff. At one point, the boat's just sitting there spinning in a circle, you know. And I'm just fishing along, you know, and over the top and over here and fishing. And I caught 3 or 4 fish, and I said, okay, enough of this. Stop, you know, let's take them in. Hey, let me give you what Jesus said about fish. Let me give you what Jesus said about fishing. Listen, it's not just enough to give your kid a fish. Take them fishing. Amen. It wasn't it Jesus that said this. He said in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw 2 brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men. Teach your children the value of a soul. Teach your children to fish. Yeah, take them fishing. I mean real-time fishing. I mean boat fishing. But also teach them the importance of a soul. Teach them to have a passion for souls. Teach them to have a concern for souls. You see, these little children, all this 1,000, 10,000, pastors always doing something, put pressure on us. No, I'm giving you something, an opportunity to teach your children something. I'm giving you an opportunity to teach your children something. It'd be good if your children saw that you had a passion for souls. And it'd be good if you taught them, hey, we're not going to leave the church till we go by the track rack. Hey, you know what? Little children can do this. Come on now. Amen. I mean, you get a little child, 3, 4, 5 years old, and you have them walking around Walmart, and they walk up and they hold a gospel track out to somebody, they may say no to me. They may not take a track when I offer it to them, but they're not going to turn down a child. And you know what? Children could catch fish. Children can win souls. Children can be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now they and by the way, they'll like it. You'd be surprised at how much they like it. So they're going to want fish. What are you going to give them, Dad? You know, if you catch a fish, and we did, and then you scale them and you fillet them, do you know, you guys that fish, you know what's on the inside? You girls know what's on the inside there? Fish sticks. That's right. That's what's... Oh, that's exactly right. Right underneath this, why they're a little bumpy, is because right underneath the scales and stuff, this is what comes out, is fish sticks. That's where fish sticks come from, I think. I don't know if there's any fish in fish sticks. I'm not sure about that. But come on, you're going to set the plate for them. You got 18 years to set the plate for them. Okay? Hey, you know what? If you won't take them when they want to go, you won't get them to go when you want to take them. I love these bus. We're a preacher. I'd get in the bus, minister, but we got little children. Hello? So? Pack them along. Teach them. Teach them walk up and down. Teach them shake hands. Teach them talk to people. Give them tracts to pass out. Sometimes you can't get somebody to come to church, but your child will ask them to come to church. I've had people in this church say, you know what, I've been trying to get this relative or that relative to come, and I couldn't get them to come, but you know what, my daughter got them to come. Or their granddaughter got them to come. Their grandson got them to come. You know what? Children are very effective when it comes to fish, and they like to fish. Oh, yeah, they may every once in a while hook somebody in the wrong place, but they're good. They'll figure it out. They might need a pair of pliers every once in a while. Give them an appetite. Giving them appetite for souls. Teach them. I say, preacher, what's the alternative? Isn't this extreme? Did you think about this? I asked Brother Reiser. I texted Brother Reiser last night, and I said, does either of your boys have a snake, a rubber snake? Why did I know that they would? Why did I know? I mean, I told Cheryl, I'm going to ask him, but you know those boys got a rubber snake, you know, just to chase the girls around with or something, you know. He didn't just, I'm thinking of a little rubber snake like this. Look at this thing, man. Look at that. That's huge. Any of you just freaked out about snakes? I'm going to tell you something. I shouldn't tell you that. I should tell you this. But, you know, that's one of those times when I shouldn't. So should I? What did I preach on last Sunday night? Temperance, self-control, self-discipline. No, I'm serious, because this would be, and you can't do it. I'll tell you, but you can't do it. So I'm just going to tempt you. I'll throw the temptation out there. How many of you take piano lessons from Jenny Castle? Put your hands way up, way up, way up. I'm going to tell you a little secret that you may not know. That woman is deathly. I don't mean kinda. I'm talking about she's at the house flipping through a book and sees a picture of a snake and screams and runs outside. I am not exaggerating. Brother Castle, give me this inside information. Now, I'm not saying that you ought to do anything with that information. But I'm telling you, I'm not talking about normal reaction. I'm not talking about normal, even kind of crazy reaction. I'm talking about it's going to be ugly. So you didn't hear it from me, okay? We'll clip it out of the... But anyway. Now, come on. Come on, daddies. This is what a good father does. It's what the Bible says. Even imperfect fathers. The Bible even uses the word evil. You know, because we are sometimes. I'm sorry, hello? Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We might as well say it. But even somebody that is imperfect and sinful ought to love their kids enough to get them to Jesus. Ought to love this lost world enough to teach them to go fish, take them fishing, give them a passion for lost souls. Say, preacher, what's on the opposite spectrum of that? Why does it say, are you thinking about this now? Fish versus a serpent? Well, this guy was introduced to us in Genesis chapter number 3. He made his first appearance. It's the devil. You know what he showed up to do? He showed up to try to drag every human being he possibly can right into a devil's hell with him. He's read the end of the Bible. He knows where he's going. He knows he's doomed. He knows he's going to spend eternity in a lake of fire. And he hates mankind. You know why he hates you so much? Because God loves you so much. Everything that God loves, the devil hates. God loves you supremely. So indescribable is the love of God for mankind that John 3:16 just simply says this, for God so loved. There's no way to even describe it. Well, listen, I will share this with you, and you young people need to get this in your thinking. Some of you got the idea the devil is your friend. He's not your friend. Okay, as much as the Lord loves you to this farthest eternal extreme, you go in the opposite direction as far as you want into the world of hate, and that is how much the devil hates you. And the devil dedicates his self full time into trying to drag as many people into a devil's hell as he possibly can. Now, Christian, come on. Are we going to participate in what God wants? Are we going to raise children that know how to fish for men? That have a passion and a burden for souls and an understanding that if people don't get saved, they're going to go to that devil's hell? Or are we through apathy? I'm talking to about 10% of the members of my church that every time I come up here and say, this is what the church is going to do, you in your heart say, not me. And I'm not talking about teenagers, I'm talking about adults. Some of you are dealing with the sin of rebellion. You can't stand any authority figure in your life. It's caused almost every problem that your life has. Are you listening to me? But I'm going to tell you something. 10,000 tracks ought to be a slam dunk for a church this size. And 1,000 hours of visitation ought to be the bare minimum that a church this size does. Come on. Listen, are you going to care enough about souls? Are you going to train your children to care enough about souls? If they don't care about others, let me tell you what they'll grow up doing. Caring only about themselves. Caring only about themselves. And so this is what Jesus says when it comes to this subject of fish. He says, hey, don't just give them fish, take them fishing so that they can get their own fish. And the devil said, no, don't do that. Let's just run them to sports all the time. Let's get them involved in everything that doesn't matter a hoot for eternity till we don't even have time hardly to show up to church, let alone anything else. And let's let everything else become so important while we let every person around us that are dying and lost go to a devil's hell. Come on, what are you going to give them, Dad? What are you going to give them? This last one's interesting because it says then in verse number 12, or if he shall ask an egg. Yes, I brought one. I asked my wife to boil it last night, so this is a hard-boiled egg. You know why that I asked her to do that? Because I don't trust myself. I could see me dropping it up here, and I didn't want the platform to smell like rotten eggs for whenever. But this is an egg. By the way, isn't it interesting, of all the things that God could have brought to our attention, he brings the idea of an egg? You folks that grew up in the 70s, okay, 1977, they came out with a little jingle about the incredible edible egg. The incredible edible egg. There you go. Now, some of you have been brainwashed into believing eggs aren't good for you. But if you would do your research, you'd understand that this is one of the most nutritional things that somebody can eat right here. By the way, you know what I'm always fascinated about? I'm fascinated about how God saw fit to make sure that we were taken care of. I mean, have you ever really contemplated that? Really thought about that? That God created something called a chicken that would supply an enormous, endless supply of these that could feed the human race. I like things that God made that's packaged already. This is called prepackaged food, all right? By God. No human being's been able to get inside and mess with it. It's like, you know, I know this is where you're going into the mind of Jerry Ross. It's a dangerous, scary place. But like when I hold a banana, I'm fascinated by a banana. You think about that. I mean, God made this wonderful tasting, amazing, nutritious piece of fruit that supplies so many of the nutrients that our body needs. And he grows it in bunches and it's completely prepackaged. Okay, you don't have to go to the store and unwrap the plastic to get to a banana. It's there. God made it that way. And you peel it and it's just as pure as the God that made it. And everything that you find that's like that, when you study it, it's amazing how good it is for you. Oh, you're not supposed to eat eggs. because of the cholesterol. You remember Willard Scott? Okay, remember when he would talk about the people that were, you know, turned 100 on the Today Show? You know, every one of those people lived in farm country. It was some guy in Iowa or some woman in Minnesota or, you know, come on now. You know, and they got up every morning, and for their entire lives, they had two eggs. But, you know, all the people that are on health food kicks are either sick or dead. That's all right. There you go. Praise Jesus. Amen. 10 health benefits of eggs. The incredible edible egg. Eggs are great for the eyes. According to one study, an egg a day may prevent macular degeneration. I think that's what it says. Due to the carotenoid content. It's got something in it that's good. And the L-U-T-E-I-N and the Z-E-A-X-A-N-T-H-I-N. And we all need that. Both nutrients are more readily available in the body's to our bodies from eggs than any other source. Number two, in another study, researchers found that people who eat eggs every day lower their risk of developing cataracts. Number three, one egg contains 6 grams of high-quality protein and all 9 essential amino acids. Number four, according to a study by the Harvard School of Public Health, there's no significant link between egg consumption and heart disease. In fact, according to one study, regular consumption of eggs may help prevent blood clot, stroke, and heart attacks. Okay, Brother Bud, eat more eggs. Amen. Gotta get you away from them blood clots. Amen. Number five, they are a good source of choline, C-H-O-L-I-N-E. It's an important nutrient. It helps regulate the brain, nervous system, and cardiovascular system. Number six, they contain the right kind of fat. One egg contains just 5 grams of fat and only 1.5 grams that is saturated fat. Number seven, new research show that contrary to previous belief, moderate consumption of eggs. You know, the egg industry ought to be paying me right now for this. I mean, I'm up in sales right now of eggs in my congregation, probably 300% right now. Moderate consumption of eggs does not have a negative impact on cholesterol. In fact, recent studies have shown that regular consumption of 2 eggs per day does not affect a person's lipid profile and may in fact improve it. Not only that, it grows hair and makes you more handsome. Number eight. That's the only thing I made up. The rest of us. Number eight, eggs are one of the only foods that contain natural occurring vitamin D. Number nine, eggs may prevent cancer. In one study, women consuming at least 6 eggs per week lowered their risk of breast cancer by 44%. Number 10, eggs promote, this is funny, I didn't read this one earlier. Eggs promote healthy hair, nails because of their high sulfur content and wild array of vitamins and minerals. What I'm saying is, you know what, it's amazing how mankind wants to find something God made, do a bunch of studies on it, tell us how bad it is, and then they want to sell us their prepackaged chemical lace stuff and tell us how safe it is. Now, what's the whole point of this? You know what? Your children not only need Jesus, and they not only need to be raised with a passion for souls and a desire to fish for men, but you know what? They need nutrition. They need nutrients. They need to be partaking of things that are good for them and healthy for them. They need things that are going to help them and build them and strengthen them, not undermine them and destroy them. And then that is compared, and I could not find a scorpion. Would anyone actually have had one if I'd have put it on the prayer? You know, somebody that visited New Mexico or Arizona and came home with anybody in the, you actually have a scorpion. See, that would have been so cool. I'm going to preach this again next week, okay? So, We've got the picture of the scorpion. You guys, look at that scorpion. Look at that tail. Can you imagine that thing? I mean, look at that tail. That is a deadly, dangerous thing right there. Can you imagine that? You know what? You're either going to see to it that your children are partaking of things that's going to make them more healthy and strengthen them and make them strong, or you're going to let them play with scorpions. Say, preacher, what's the Bible have to say about scorpions? Let me get my eyes on and my notes rearranged. There's just a handful of Bible references. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Notice this. Then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought and where there is no water. Talk about God, how he led his people through that wilderness and around all of these dangers. And folks, listen to me. We are raising our children. We are taking them on a journey to maturation. And that journey is a wilderness journey. And Daddy, it's up to you to guide your children around these dangers. You know what? Sometimes children, sometimes young people, they look at something and to them it seems harmless, but we know better. A little child might see a scorpion crawling around on the floor and just think something to play with. But we know better, don't we? Dads, listen to me. It's not your job to be Mr. Popular in your house all the time. We've got too many dads worried about being a child's buddy instead of being their daddy. And you're not always going to win the popularity vote if you make the right decisions and do the right things. But there's an old-fashioned word we need to learn in our homes again, and we need to say it with some measure of authority, and here's the word, no. Amen. No. But then I want to go to everybody's doing it. You ever get that? Everybody's doing it. Well, you know what? I'm not raising everybody. I'm raising you. Did your dad ever use this one on you? I suppose if everybody was jumping off a cliff, your dad used that one on you, you'd want to do it too. Well, listen, it's not your job to be Mr. Popular. You know what it is? You're to see to it that the things that they're around and the influences they're around, that it builds them and strengthens them and it's good for them and it builds them. And listen to me, young people, all of you look up here. You got a mom and dad that set priorities in your life and parameters in your life and have rules. You ought to thank God every night before you go to bed that you're raised in a home like that. You ought to, listen, girls, you ought to be glad you're not allowed to roam around the streets at 1 or 2 or 3 in the morning. Are you listening to me? Are you getting this? Don't fuss at mom and dad about the rules. If dad's got a rule, I just don't understand it. Well, you're going to, listen, the older you get, the smarter your dad's going to get. There's a lot of things I didn't understand at 12, 13, 14, 15. But you know what? I look back now and say, thank God I had a dad that not only set rules, but he had the backbone to enforce the rules. Okay, you got a curfew. You got a curfew for a reason. You get home. Good rule of thumb. And Ron Allen used to say this. I mean, he was raised in a drunkard's home. A drunkard's home. But you know what Daddy said? He said, when the street lights come on, you're home. There ain't nothing after dark except trouble. You listening to me? There ain't nothing after dark except trouble. Thank God that you've got some parents that lay down some rules. Now, this is what we got an opportunity to do, dads. We got an opportunity to set the plate for our children. They need Jesus. They need to have a passion for souls, and they need to have some direction and purpose in life, and they have to learn to die to self and live for others and reach out and get involved and reach people for Christ, and they need things that are going to build them, both mentally and spiritually and physically, the right kind of things going into their person. And yet the honest truth is, folks, I'm not exaggerating. If I am, point it out. But I wonder, at the judgment seat of Christ, how many, think about this, how many parents, how many daddies are going to have to stand before God and say, you know what I did? I could have given bread and I gave them a stone. I could have given them fish, but I gave them a serpent. I could have given them an egg, but you know what? I let them play with scorpions. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this inspired portion of Scripture that teaches us these wonderful and dynamic truths. And Lord, may we as fathers realize the responsibility that comes with the great privilege of being called daddy. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us in the week ahead as we pray and contemplate and take overview of our home and our children. That, Lord, if there's areas that we need to step up, dear God, I pray that we'd do that. Lord, we are imperfect. We'll say it. We understand that, dear God. We are imperfect and we need your help. But I pray, Lord, that you'd give us the wisdom that we need to raise the children that you've put under our care. I pray also, Lord, for our young people, dear God. I pray the young people of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, every young person that's under the sound of the voice of this preacher, would go home with a love and appreciation for their dad. Help them to learn to be obedient to their father and to honor their father and to listen to him. Help them not to miss the wisdom that he wants to teach them, and help them to follow the way in which he is trying to guide them. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would give our young people a servant's heart and a heart of love. They'd give their heart to their dad. They'd give their heart to their mom, Lord. Sweeten that relationship. We pray, Lord, if there's someone here without Jesus as their Savior. I think that the day that my dad stepped out of a pew, the day my dad stepped to the nearest aisle, walked to the front, grabbed the preacher's hand and said, I need to be saved. I think he did not only the greatest thing that he could have done for himself, but he did the greatest thing he could have ever done for me. He gave me a Christian daddy. And I pray, Lord, that if there's somebody here that's unsaved, they've never received Jesus as their Savior, I pray that this would be that day in their life, dear God, where they'd come forward and just trust the Lord. Bless, dear God, the invitation time, we pray in Jesus' name.